Leroy, how'd this whole project come together?
Well, I started getting back into playing some blues music about 2010, and it kind of struggled my way through personnel, trying to find the right formula of players. And then really sort of by happenstance, some of it through, honestly, the aging process. As we've all gotten older, there's less demand for work for us. So by virtue of everyone having more availability than they had before, we were able to collaborate and get, you know, had the time to collaborate and get together where in the past it wouldn't have been an option for us. So it started off by I needed a guitar player on some things, and Marcus and I talked. He was able to come on board and do some shows with us. And then there was an opportunity to make a change for our keyboard player. Charlie was the first guy we thought of, and he came on board, and it just felt right from the very beginning.
Well, lucky you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Marcus, you end up producing or co-producing?
Yes.
And who did you round up for this?
We used basically our band, mm-hmm. the band, the Sacred Hearts, that band. And it was good because, you know, we had all strong, you know, all people that enjoy playing and all people suited for this project. So it worked out great.
Yeah, we rotated in some different drummers. We used Bam Powell, Teddy Wilburn, and Chris Arducer. We were kind of weak in the percussion area.
Lightweights,
yeah. Very good.
Holy smoke. And you've been playing out live here and there, and you got another show coming up this coming Thursday night.
Yes, we'll be at the Southgate Revival House in support of Walter Trout, who's a legendary blues guy. Just got back off of the Joe Bonamassa blues cruise, working with people like Paul Schaefer and Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Noah Hunt. And so Walter is a legendary blues guitar slinger. So we're looking forward to that show.
Charlie, how do you feel you're fitting in here?
You know, it's just been great. The band, they hold their own. Everyone just plays hard, and Leroy just wrote some great songs, really dug in, and then he let the songs go, let the band come in and do some work with it and move it around and put a different character on a few things, and I'm happy to be here. I mean, what fun.
It's a great sounding record. It's a good feeling record.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's driving down the road smiling and gradually turning it up a little mm-hmm. bit, a little bit more.
It was made old school, everybody in the same room. A couple of tunes a day.
7 or 8 months.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I had basic ideas for the songs. I sent out like a demo recording of what my vision was. And then to be honest with you, we sort of arranged them in the studio live. Everybody said, hey, how about this? You know, and everybody was a crucial part. I could probably go down each tune and say, oh, that's the tune that Charlie had the idea for this, or Marcos had this idea, or Bam, or whoever it was. And so it was a real collaborative effort.
True collaboration.
And everybody just saying, hey, let's make a great song.
So, another hot guitar player is Max Guys.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not
really adds a lot to it. Let's listen to something. I'm kind of going towards a family thing. I love that song. So if we can hear some of that right then, we'll talk a little bit more.
And don't forget to say I love you to your brother and sister every day. Regardless of your color, inside we're all the same. Let's bring the world together, eliminate the pain. Running through your veins, we need each other. Every day, it's a family thing.
Family thing.
Family thing.
Family thing.
It's a family thing.
Family thing.
If you're living in the darkness, look into the light. Deeds won't go unnoticed. Rewards are in your sight. Feel free to set high standards. Live each moment through. Blessings from above come abundantly to you.
That's Family Thing, and that's from Sanctified. It's Leroy Ellington's Sacred Hearts. And we're chatting with Leroy, with Marco Sastry, and with Charlie Fletcher. Do you guys have a favorite on the record?
It's funny because what I thought everybody would love, of course, that's not what they're playing. It's always like that, you know. I liked Keep Moving On, some of the up-tempo stuff pretty much, and I got a lot of favorites on the record.
It's I'm the same way. I go through different stages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, with each playing, I find something else. And, that's
right.
That's hot. That's good.
Something that really struck me differently, and I got this from Max Guys, actually. We were in the studio one day, and some of these songs are songs that are important to me. I wrote the stories. Let's Make Love is a song I wrote about watching the 1968 race riots from my front porch. Mm-hmm. And I told Max, I jokingly said something about, I don't know if anybody cares to hear these stories about my life, but we were standing at the studio and he goes, I don't know. I think you can't really go wrong by being sincere with your messages. I really took that to heart. And so a lot of those songs on there are songs that are of some significance to me. And What Would You Do is a song, ask the listener what sort of philosophically, what would you do if you found out today was your last day? Mm-hmm. You got 24 hours to figure it out. What would you do if you found out tomorrow was your wife's last day? And then finally, in the last verse, I say what I would do if I found out. And so I don't have a favorite. There's a song on there about missing my mom and dad.
Until we meet again.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, It's just, that's my story. And I think that a lot of people can probably wrap their mind around that as it pertains to their life.
And it's getting some play around, isn't it?
Yeah, it was in Roots Music Report this week, debuted at number 41 in the top 50. And the first song debuted at number 8, Good Time Blues. And we're playing all over the world.
How'd you get it out there?
Well, I'm working with a PR firm out of Nashville, Tennessee, the Galaxy Agency. Gina Hughes is our manager and handles our PR for us and working on radio distribution worldwide. And I'm very happy with the results. The album officially hit the streets on February the 23rd. We're on several syndicated radio shows worldwide. And I couldn't be any happier that we, you know, broke the top 50 in our debut. And We're pushing hard. We're intensifying our efforts on our end to try to push it up the charts to get more play.
Where's the record available locally?
Locally, I don't have it in any stores right now. I should make that happen. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that. Mostly at our performances. And of course, it's available on all streaming sources. But I will make arrangements to get it into Everybody Records.
Shake it.
Yeah. Mm. And
I bet you have a heck of a time playing live. Good time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like for me, Max is there, so I can't take a night off, that's for sure. He'll burn me. He'll flash me out. So that everybody gets excited. And the guy we're playing with now, the drummer, Sean Ellsberg, very nice job. He's really good. And I'd also like to mention, we got great service from the engineer, Phil Combs, did a great job with this record.
He was great.
You know, live, talking about live, Max and Marcos are such different players in the way they bounce off of each other. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun.
There's a lot of spontaneity. Yeah, we play our arrangements, but anytime, like Charlie said, anything can happen. I think it's important to mention, too, one constant that's been there since the beginning of when I started writing these songs was our bass player, Mike Grosser. He's one of those powerhouse bass players that just, I don't know how to describe it.
He plays the correct note.
He plays the groove.
And the groove doesn't overplay. You know, he understands what a bass guitar is.
And if we have a back line, his favorite line is, I'm going to blow this up.
I like that. And does.
it's just pure thunder coming from him back there. And he's just really driving the low end. And he's also had a great impact on how the tunes were produced and the arrangements. I think on Doghouse, he was the guy that kind of came up with the way that groove got set up. And again, it was really spontaneous in the studio. It sort of just happened. Somebody said, hey, let's try this. And it was different than I really envisioned doing the album from the standpoint that I anticipated having a bunch of rehearsals, learning these tunes, and then going in and laying down the rhythm tracks.
More like Beatles. Mm-hmm. Structure.
Yeah.
Everybody gets in the room. Hey, lads, let's try this. Let's do this, you know. And then you're off, you know, as opposed to get a drum track. Oh, I don't think I can record like that anymore, guys. Yeah. Get a drum track, get a bass part. Oh, it's torturous. So this is fun.
We didn't beat the tracks up. We just let them lay there and just get a good performance and let it go.
One of the efforts that I didn't quite understand right at first was giving the song some space. Even though it's a 6-piece ensemble, there's some of those tunes. Doghouse is a good example where it's open. Like there's not a lot of clutter. That was honestly the result of getting in the studio with, you know, I was really lucky. I get into go in the studio with guys that are sort of my local mentors and heroes and pull together my songs. So yeah, I had an idea for the songs, and then I just said, all right, what do you guys think? And everybody said what they thought, and we pulled it together, and we tried stuff, and we said, that's not it. That's not working.
But then when it hits. This.
And then when it hits, like, everybody knows. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we had a whole lot of things happen in the studio that everybody said, I don't really like that part. I think when we landed on it, everybody kind of felt it. And some of the things that are on the record are what was the scratch. What Would You Do, I think, is almost an all-scratch vocal.
You mean first take?
Sure. Yeah, it was just like the very first take vocal. And then there's some guitar stuff that Marcos and Max both did that were like, we just did it in the first take, and we figured we'd go back and, you know, make adjustments, and they just stuck. They were good.
No need, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Excellent. It's called Sanctified. It's brand new. It's awfully good. It's Leroy Ellington's Sacred Hearts. We've been visiting with Leroy, with Charlie Fletcher, with Marcos Sastry, and always good to catch up, fellas.
Good seeing you, Brian.
Good seeing you, man.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.